It's one thing that never ceases to happen. When you open God's Word and bring a message that you believe He's laid on your heart, you can't help but be nervous. And if I ever lost that, I ought to quit. That's the way I feel about it. But it's good to be at your old home church. Or I can't say old home church, our home church. We've only been here a short while. But we're thankful to have our membership here and the kindness that everyone has shown to us and the fellowship that we've enjoyed and the preaching that, and teaching that we've heard. Please take your Bible and turn with me to the fourth chapter in the book of Philippians. There's a few verses I want to share with you this morning, and I have so many verses written down, I won't be able to cover them all. But I want us to see something, how privileged and blessed as God's children we are. And in a moment, I'll try to describe something that happened to us on the way up here this morning and share that with you. But in Philippians 4, and in verse number 19, the Bible says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." From that verse this morning, beloved, in other readings, I want to share with you this kind of thought, and that's simply the promise of God's abundant provision. You know, God's really good to us, and He's provided for us, and many times when we stop to think about what He's done for us, we ought to just bow our heads and pray and thank Him for looking after us and caring for us, because He has. He's done that. And so as we think about it, countless numbers of God's people have rested upon and rejoiced in the truth and the fulfillment of this wonderful promise that God has made to us. You see, God doesn't tell us something that He doesn't intend to do for us. He keeps every promise that He's ever made to us. And He doesn't fail in that. And so to the members of this church at Philippi, these words must have brought assurance and rest. They bring that to us. This morning as we were coming up here, we got up onto 475 just south of town here, and we got up just past downtown Flint, and all of a sudden we came up on a big wreck. A couple of vehicles collided, and there was a fender lying out in the middle of 475, and man, I mean, I had to try to stop. And it was lying there, and it was right there, and it could have happened. And I told Nancy, I said, you know, it could have been us that were involved in that collision. But God takes care of us. Now, we could have been involved, but He looked after us. And I'm thankful for that. And that's part, beloved, that's part of God's provision, you see. And so these were times in our lives, and you might think of something right now as we cover this thought and this subject this morning, when you could look back and reflect in your life and say, you know, God took care of me in this situation, or He provided for us in that situation, or protected us in this situation in our lives. And so these are promises that the Spirit of God inspired the Apostle Paul to write. And why is this so? Why is it? It was because through his preaching and his ministry, they came to know the Lord in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it had brought them closer to their experience again to what they had attained by the grace of God. And so at this time, in this same chapter, look back in verse 4 with me, if you would. They had heard of his needs, and they send help to Paul. Listen to what Paul said here in verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We can call on Him, and He's encouraging us here to call on Him. What a blessing that is. What a privilege it is to be able to speak to God. And we get that by the grace of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we pray for one another and pray in the will of God for our lives or for the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, it pleases God. And this is part of His provision, to be able to talk to Him, if you will. And then He said in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." How fortunate we are today. Let's go further. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." How many times have we, you and I, gone home from church and just meditated upon what we had heard our pastor bring to us in a message? How many times have we just read a few verses of Scripture or heard a devotional as we did this morning that made us stop and think and consider what God is telling us and what God has done for us? Beloved, today, how blessed and how fortunate we are. We've got much to be thankful for. And he said, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me, which hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, now listen, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." How fortunate we are today. Yes, sir. "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound." Now, haven't all of us experienced that situation in our lives? How to be brought or humbled, brought low? Oh, we know how to abound. We've experienced those times and situations in our lives. But even when we've been brought low or when we've been abased, we've been able to see God's hand helping us, guiding us, comforting us, strengthening us in the midst of these times. He said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry and to abound and to suffer need. Now notice this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You wonder why in some of your weakest moments or some of our weakest moments why we're given strength and help in time of need? It's because of the grace of God. When we need Him most, He's there. When one of our loved ones is ill and we beseech Him to help in that time of need, He was there. So I want us to think about this today, just for a few moments, about God's abundant provision for us. How wonderful it is. How glorious it is to know that He's there for us and caring for us. Verse 19 again. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Notice then with me, note the times that question is asked. Does this promise of God really mean it's included for me? If you're saved, it does. And if you're here today and lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've never known him as your personal Savior, today you might be given the gift of eternal life by simply repenting and believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What a blessed privilege it is to know him today, to be comforted by him today, and encouraged by him in this hour in our lives when we need him so much and need him the most. I've had 3 major surgeries in the last 3 years. And yet, each time the Lord saw fit to let me rise up and come back home to be with Nancy, come back home and be back in church. And then he brought us here to Home Baptist Church, for which we are thankful and we rejoice in God's grace and mercy. So you might say, well, preacher, does that promise of God apply both to our spiritual need and our material need? And my answer to you is yes. When we need spiritual guidance and counsel, it applies to us. Many times in our lives, when we need material guidance, he gives us that as well. For example, let me show you something. Look over with me, and I won't bring all these verses out. We won't have time. But look in Romans 8, and let me read a couple of verses, 16 and 17, if I may. Listen to what he's promised to us here and how precious these promises are. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. He's looking after you today. He cares for you today. The reason we're here today is because of the grace of God. He put a desire in our hearts to bring us to the house of God, to hear a wonderful devotional and then a wonderful Sunday school lesson today. And so he cares for us. And in the way of material needs, there's a long reading. I'll just give it to you this afternoon to take home with you. Now let me just read it, if I may. And in Matthew 26, I'm going to just read a couple of verses over there, part of it. Matthew 26 in verse 25, he says this. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. He had betrayed the Lord Jesus. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission or forgiveness of sins. And so, But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Material goods he provides for us. The meal that you enjoyed this morning before you came to God's house, that's a blessing of the gift of God. You say, well, I worked for it. I earned the money. You know, God gave us the job that we have, didn't he? He provided that for us. And so as we consider this and think about it, we understand, as we think on this subject then, God has provided many things for us. Look at your family today. Consider how glorious God has been for you. I look back in my life. My dad, years ago, lived a rough life. And when I was saved, one of the first things I wanted to see happen in my family was to see my dad come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And I'll never quit rejoicing and being thankful. My dad's home today with the Lord. But I'm thankful that one day I was there when my dad trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And my dad was about my age at the time, maybe a little bit older. And he used to walk because he didn't have a car. And I was already pastoring the first church that I pastored. My dad was walking a couple of miles to get to church. And when it was my dad's funeral there at Grace Baptist Church in Warren years ago, a couple of men came to me and said, on Sunday morning, your dad was always here first and waiting for someone to come and unlock the door. Now, that's a blessing, beloved, because I remember when my dad cared more about the world and very little about anything churchy. But God changed his life, and God has blessed us. That's a provision. That's a blessing we have because of the grace of God, to see our loved ones come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we look at this, the first thing I want you to think about, and I need to hurry, but the first thing I want you to think about this morning is the word God preceded by the word, if you will, or pronoun, my. Notice that back in Philippians 4:19. But my God. Really, I'm his, and you're his today, saved by the grace of God. But he's also our God, isn't he? And we can rejoice in that. We can thank God for that. My God, Paul's God. But my God, your God if you're saved today. Your God if you'll repent and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Do you know him today? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Who is he? He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our God and Heavenly Father, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, if you will. We didn't earn that. People say, well, I was baptized. Does that take care of it? No, you only got wet when you got baptized. And if you have scriptural baptism, which is by immersion under the authority of a New Testament Baptist church, that pictures what saved you. And that baptism admits us into the fellowship or membership of a local New Testament Baptist church when we submit to their authority to administer the ordinance of baptism to us. So we have that provision from God to be a member of the kind of church that Jesus built. And isn't it wonderful today to know that we're his and that he's ours? How wonderful it is. To think that we can, and it humbles me to think about it, but it to think, beloved, this morning that any time you're ill or one of our fellow church members are ill or our loved ones are ill, we can talk to God about it. We can call on God for help in time of need. And we're all because we're his, one by creation, you see. And also by his marvelous salvation under the grace of God, by his election, if you will. God saved us. He didn't have to, but he desired to, and he brought us to know his Son as our Savior and Lord. And so we're redeemed by the grace of God. And it's amazing, not only that I am his, but he is ours. We belong to him. The world can't take that from you. You have something that is yours for eternity, both here and throughout eternity. He's yours and mine today, if you're saved. And the one who is yours and mine promises to provide for you and me. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. That's one of the provisions of God, isn't it? And he's promised that to us, if you will. And so the promise is only made to those who can say, my God, because we've come to know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, secondly, where he said that word, my God, those two words, my God, but my God, now notice that next word, shall. He's not speculating, beloved. He's stating a fact. My God shall, if you will. I think we could say there are thousands of God shalls throughout the Bible. They're all over the book. Promises that God has made to us. things that God has provided for us. And that's only just one of them. My God shall supply all your need. He shall supply, you see. And so as we look at it, look back with me in John chapter 2, if you will, in verse 6. John chapter 2 and verse number 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, and after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 jerkins apiece, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Notice that. God promises, if you will, to fill up to the full. And he fills up to the full. When we have need, he encourages us. He strengthens us when we're weak. And he helps us along the way. And so as we see this, the void in the need of people's lives, he helps us. He provides for us and encourages us. When we have burdens and trials and troubles, when we want to get another motorcycle, brother, we can call on God for guidance, can't we? We can find help when we need it most, you see. And Paul, if you will, has provided this insight by the grace of God to let us know this as we look into the Word of God. Notice how he says this. Let me read a bit. You can follow me with, if you will, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, quickly, if you will. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. God promises to supply our needs and fully and completely, just like Paul said here to Timothy. He said, charge them that are rich in the world or in this world that they be not high-minded, now listen, nor trust in uncertain riches. We can lose today what we thought we've had for life. We're not promised we're going to be wealthy. We're not promised even a little bit of savings that we have will be there forever. But he's telling us then, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. I am the Lord, he said, I change not. And we have that promise, and he doesn't change. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he? And he said, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He giveth us richly all things to enjoy fully and completely. We can call on him. People say, well, I if my man gets voted in as president, I can call on him for help. Well, how can we call on him if we can't get anywhere near him? But one thing I know, I can be able to call on God. And his supplying, beloved, is always miraculous. Though he usually meets his people's needs through human channels, but behind it and through it is the hand of God. We sing a song that has words like, make me a blessing, and you know what? He does just that. We can be used of him to share his grace with others. We can be used of him to be a help to our brothers and sisters in Christ, if you will. And so as we see this, Paul acknowledges that he met his needs through those dear saints at Philippi. Back in Philippians chapter 4 again, and in verse number 4, He says this, and I'll share it with you if I may. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he goes one step further, and he says, and again I say rejoice. Don't we have a lot to rejoice in today? Huh? I think one of the greatest blessings we have is when we see loved ones that we know are our brothers and sisters come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. People we know that we've prayed for that are lost and need to be saved and have eternal life. You say, well, they're doing their best. It isn't how much best we can do. It's trusting Him who's able to save us from our sins. And we need Him, if you will. Now notice something else with me. And if you underline anything in your Bible or mark it, look back over at Philippians 4:19 again. And underline three words for me, if you will. Well, not for me, but for you. Because we read this so far and talked about it. But my God shall supply. Now listen what he said. All your need. Don't we all have need? I'm sure we all have need. And God shall supply, he said. He didn't say all that I want. He said all your need. He gives us grace. It may not be what we want or what we expect, but he provides for us. He cares for us. And how marvelous that is. And this surely emphasizes not only the completeness of God's supply, you see, but the abundance of it. And that's our thought this morning, the abundance of God's provision. How many times have things happened in your life? And we had need, if you will. Not want, but we had need. And we had no way to find solutions to our problems or our needs. And yet God provided. He helped us. I know Nancy and I have been helped many times in our 50 years of marriage. And I'm not supposed to say that. She's only 35. I mean, no. But I have a whole list here before I get to time to close. But I want, with your patience, I want to share them with you just quickly. Our temporal needs. Food, clothing, lodging. Have you ever gone hungry? You say, well, I have a time or two. But God provided, though, didn't he? When you got your meal, didn't he provide for you? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. He provides for us. Our physical needs, and this is a big one, you see. God provided advances and helps in medicine, if you will, or in the medical profession that were unheard of years ago. I mean, I didn't think of the things that I've experienced in the last few years, but God's taking care of us. He's talking about our spiritual food, our need of spiritual food, a word from God, something to help us, something in that critical moment in our lives that we needed the most, you see. And in this day and time, our world is in such a terrible condition. We need to know what God tells us about signs of the times and things like this. I listen to the politicians. They claim they have a solution to our needs as a nation or the needs of the world today. But I know somebody who does have the solution. And when we pray, beloved, we're calling on the one who can do that for us. Isn't that true? And he encourages us so much that he tells us how to pray, to call on him in the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our need of moral cleansing, and I've touched on that quite a few times this morning. But our social need of fellowship and patience. But remember, tribulation worketh patience. You mean, preacher, we have to go through tribulation? No, not always, do we? But tribulation does bring patience. Teaches us to wait on the Lord. And so as we see this, then our intellectual need of wisdom, that's another big one. How do we respond as a Christian? What when we know in a given situation what the Bible has to say, does it guide us in how we're supposed to react to that situation? If something happens that, I'll be honest with you. I used to play hockey when I was young. And it was before I was saved. And I was a little bit different before God saved me. And I know what it's like to be roughed up and pushed around and everything else to get your anger stirred up. But how do we react today now that we're saved by the grace of God? Do you sometimes bite your lip? Maybe we need to do that more. I don't know, but I know that we need to bite our tongues sometimes. But often, beloved, if God gave us what we want, it would be a disaster. But we may want to understand some things that he chooses not to tell us. We can find answers in his word, though, as we look. When we need guidance in life, we can look in the word of God and be encouraged and guided and blessed, strengthened in our weakest moments, if you will. So what is that we most urgently need right now? Maybe there's someone here this morning that has a need in your life. You need help. You need guidance. You need comfort. You need peace. You need encouragement. Well, why not get down before the Lord today and plead with him for help, and also provide that he'll provide his promise. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You believe God can do that? I do. He's done it. He's done it. You see, now, I want to close with this morning. There's four words there in that verse again that I want to share with you. He says this, according to his riches. According to his riches. God has, according to his word, and by your experience and my experience in life, in your family and in our family, God has provided our need according to his riches in glory, if you will. And he's given us inexhaustible riches, riches of his goodness, riches of his wisdom. When we get confronted with a situation, what do you do? Let me show you something. Take your Bible quickly. Let's go back over to Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, if you will. Romans 11 and verse 33. For what is your life, the Bible said, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. We know not what shall be on tomorrow, do we? But we know God's got an answer for us. Search the scriptures, the Bible tells us. In Romans, if you will, beloved, Romans 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the knowledge, or the depth of the riches, I should say, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Search the scriptures. Riches of his grace. Riches of his glory. God reveals things to us, beloved, in his word to help us. He does that because he's loved us with an everlasting love, the Bible tells us. He cares that much for you today, child of God. He's interested in your home. He's interested in your life. He's interested in your occupation, brother. The reason you haven't had that situation arise in your career is because God provided, God protected, God looked after you. And he cares about us. The reason sometimes when we get in the mailbox and we look and we've got some kind of bill, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay that? God helps us, doesn't he? We look back over those situations or those circumstances, and God provided. You say, preacher, he hadn't done that for me yet. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to seek him. I tell you what, it's a long way from Home Baptist Church down to the hospital at 7 Mile Road in Mac, where I had my bypass surgery back in March, I believe it was. But our pastor and his wife came down to the hospital and prayed with me. Brother, you were there, weren't you? Brother Mark Titus was there. And I must have been out because I didn't remember. Nancy had to remind me. But you know, God provides us friends. God provides us fellow church members, brothers and sisters in Christ, to help us over these steep hills that we have to climb in life, because He cares for us. He's interested in you. And that's a big blessing for us, if you will. He not only gives us out of His riches, according to His riches, that is to say, He gives proportionately to His vast resources. And so He treats us well. He takes care of us. He's interested in us. Somebody said, oh, I would to God that He'd help me. You got up this morning, didn't you? Huh? He got you to church this morning, didn't He? He brought us safely to church this morning, hon. When that fender was lying out there right in front of us and I barely avoided it. But He helped us to get here because He cares. He wants us to gather together. And I look at you and what a blessing and a privilege it is to be a member of Home Baptist Church. And I look back from this pulpit and I see you. And I've preached here many times over the years. I remember when Brother Titus was the pastor and I would preach in the conference. And now with Brother Gordon asking me to supply for him. You've always been a people that love the Lord. You've always been a people that love one another. You've always been a people that love the truth of God's Word. And that's precious. That's important today. Hold fast to God's Word. Don't let go of it. You see? So what we have, what God's promised us in the book, in God's Word, is His resources are safe. And if all we need for time and eternity are promised to us are going to be ours, they are ours. We're going to have them. We have got them because He'll not take His blessings from us. We may disappoint God, but I'll guarantee you one thing, we'll never be disappointed in God because He cares enough for us to keep His promise and His word. So our resources are safe and we can trust in Him. My God shall supply all your need. He didn't say want. He said need. There's a difference, beloved, between need and want. You see, if you're not saved this morning, for example, and I'm not trying to be rude or impolite or facetious, whatever the word is I'm looking for, but if you're unsaved today, if you never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not ready to leave this world behind. You need to be saved by the grace of God. The Bible said, all I can do is go by what the book said. That's our message from God's word. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house, doesn't it? And the greatest need in your life today, the greatest need, if you're unsaved today, is to be saved, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that He died for you. You can't save yourself. You can't say, I was baptized when I was an infant. All that did was get you wet. That didn't save you. Didn't wash away your sin. And the Bible said we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. And the biggest need in our lives without Jesus Christ is to be saved. You need to trust Him today. He calls us to come unto Him. Trust Him. Believe on Him. Repent. And the Bible tells us, you see, the Bible said with the heart, baptism doesn't do it, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Isn't that what it said? And if it tells you that, it tells you it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. So we're not saved by who we are and what we've done. We're saved by trusting in Him, believing in our hearts that He died for us and shed His precious blood for us at Calvary. And God said He'd save us. Shall supply all your need. As I said a moment ago, the greatest need in your life right now, if you're lost without Jesus Christ, is to be born again by the grace of God. Come to Christ today in this invitation. Come to know Him, if you will. He said, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if you're saved today, isn't it wonderful to read a verse of Scripture that says you're not your own, you've been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God within your body and your spirit, which are God's. I tell you what, that's comforting to me to know that I'm His. Because being His, He's mine. And I rejoice. Thank God for that. I don't know if I've scattered everything all around the room this morning or what, but if you got nothing else out of it, I hope you're encouraged to know that it's not our wants I'm talking about, it's our needs. God wants you to come to Him today. If you're troubled today, friend, turn to Him. Call on Him. If you're lost today,